Hello and welcome to Grow Up, an APG Canada podcast, where we give strategic thinkers and creative tinkerers opportunities to grow. I'm your host, Michelle Lee, and today on the show, we're chatting with Ian Westworth, SVP, Head of Planning and Effectiveness at Grey, on how to better integrate effectiveness into planning. Ian, welcome to the show. I know we have a joint love for effectiveness, so I'm glad to be talking about that with you today. Love it if you could introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell us as well why you think effectiveness is important, and then we'll go through and if you could share your top tips on how we can be better at integrating effectiveness into planning.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks very much for having me on the podcast. So I've been at Grey for a little over 7 years. Grey is the famously effective agency. And when I first joined, I really wanted to understand what we did that was unique in the world of effectiveness. And what I quickly uncovered was that we shared the same belief that a lot of, you know, world-class agencies share. And it's this mindset that, you know, creativity can really drive business effectiveness. But I wanted to dig a bit deeper. And so that sent me down this journey of really trying to learn as much as I could about business effectiveness, creative effectiveness, you know, what matters to the C-suite. How can we as an agency get better at driving effectiveness? And it's been truly about a seven-year journey to get where we are today. And as far as the question around, you know, why it matters, there's kind of two sides to it that I really uncovered as I was digging into it. The one side was this, you know, there's a lot of headlines that were coming out around 2018 around, you know, the death of the CMO, CMOs losing their seat at the table. And, you know, for agencies, that's, you know, that's not a great space to be in. We want our clients to be, you know, successful within their organization. So part of this journey was about how can we help them be more effective in their role. And of course, that's super important for agencies. If our clients are successful, if, you know, they're able to prove that the work they're doing is really helping drive the business, then that helps them justify, of course, better investment into advertising, which is good for agencies. So it's really a win-win on that level.
Yeah. Great. Well, that makes sense. So tell us a bit about this journey that you've been on, kind of when it started and, you know, maybe processes or approaches that have, you know, been changed or modified within the agency as a result.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the journey started truly in around 2016. And I guess it happened to coincide with a time where there was, you know, reports coming out around the, you know, the crisis of creativity from the IPA. And so it felt timely, I guess, when it was happening. Really, the way the journey started was me just really taking an active role in trying to learn as much as I could. So, you know, the obvious place to start was, in my case, you know, the long and short of it from Banan Fields. And kind of digging into that and learning about that. And just it started to go down a rabbit hole of uncovering different articles from thought leaders all around the world. And then what I did from there was assemble a team. We had some consultants come in to help us better understand, you know, how to, you know, look at business reports and how to write, you know, business cases, how to build, you know, what we were calling, or a lot of people would call, like, what are the killer charts that would be meaningful to, you know, the CFO and the CEO, and really trying to uncover what the real business problems were through by looking at business data. So that was one of the first steps we went down. And we developed something called the effectiveness architecture. The other thing we wanted to do was really understand, you know, what are the drivers of creative effectiveness, and how can creativity actually move the business? And of course, there's a lot of great learning, especially over the last couple of years, you know, things around, you know, distinctive assets, which there's, you know, everyone has a POV on, whether it's Kantar or Eringer Bass, the IPA and Warwick. Everyone's talking about the value of using your distinctive assets to help drive your business. There's lots of research around the use of emotion, and again, thought leaders like System One talking about that. consistency of using your, ensuring your idea is used consistently, you know, everywhere, and year over year, is like building long-term ideas that are flexible. So what we were doing at Gray was kind of taking all of this best-in-class learning from thought leaders all around the world. And we developed a series of training sessions for the organization at Gray. So we have brief writing as a training session. We have case study writing, which is some of that stuff I was talking about earlier around, you know, being able to look at clients' business data, media data to build the business case, and then building out a full, like, what is the case you would be making to the CEO or the CFO. And things around the creative effectiveness stuff around emotion, around distinctive assets. We built training modules for that and took not just the planners through it, not just the account team through it, but we had agency presentations where everyone was in the room, creative, production, account service and planning, and having a really robust discussion about effectiveness and trying to, really what it's all about is trying to build an effectiveness culture at Gray.
Yeah. And what's been the reception to that? And I also think it's really interesting that it was the entire agency as opposed to just the strategists. Like, you know, what was your thought in terms of specifically bringing in account folks and creatives and et cetera?
Yeah, as far as the, you know, I'll take a one step back. We have a firm belief that the most successful work that we'll do as an agency is when we have someone at the table from every department. You know, for me, and this isn't about creative effectiveness yet, but you know, when I'm writing a creative brief, you know, I don't toil away on my own. I run it by people on the account team. I'll run it by, creatives. It might not even be the creative that's working on that will be working on it, but just someone I trust that can give me a point of view. It's this idea that we are stronger together because everyone brings in this unique point of view. And so with that mindset, this thought of how can we have a culture of creativity requires everyone in the organization to understand it and to really buy into it. So we wanted to make sure that, and to be able to have a common narrative. So when we're talking about effectiveness, you know, it can't just be the planner saying, talking about distinctive assets. You know, you want the creative director to be looking at the work through that lens. You want the account person to be looking at the work through that lens. And ultimately we want clients to be looking at the work through that lens. So that was the thinking. If we need to all be on the same page, have a common understanding of what effectiveness looks like from every angle.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. So what else? Like, so talk us through, so you've talked about training modules, you set up an effectiveness architecture. I mean, it sounds like you've been very busy, actually. It's pretty impressive. You know, do you feel like there is more of an embedded culture of effectiveness at Gray now?
Yeah, I think I would say yes, there is more of an embedded culture. I still think there's more to be done. And what I mean by that is, you know, it can't just be a one-off discussion. Like we can't just do a presentation in January and assume that, you know, that's it. You've done the job. It needs to be an ongoing discussion. So it comes up so we've included things in briefing sessions. So for example, in the brief, we might call out like, here are the distinctive assets for the brand. And that might typically happen in, you know, a big idea briefing versus, you know, a more tactical briefing. But, you know, we'll talk about what are these things that we can leverage or what might we create if some brands don't have, have a history of really reinforcing distinctive assets, what could we develop? So that's a new thing that we are starting to incorporate into our processes. But we need to make sure, really the point is we need to make sure we're having an ongoing discussion, you know, new people join the organization. So how do we make sure they're onboarded into that thinking? The other things we do as well, I meant to mention as well, is just looking at work together and talking about it through the lens of creative effectiveness. It's another tool. It's fun to do. Like there's nothing, from my perspective at least, there's nothing more fun than sitting around in a room and looking at some amazing work from around the world and not just talking about, you know, do we like it or is it cool? But talking about, like, do we think it's good and why do we think it's good and do we think it's effective? And why do we think it's effective? And really applying the principles that we learn in training to these kind of more fluid, fun discussions about work. And we're actually doing a review of the CAN work next week, I believe. And we're not just showing the work, we're actually having a discussion about, we're judging the judges is the theme of the session next week. And we're gonna look at the work with a real critical eye to say, you know, maybe they won, but do they deserve it? And why? Or why not?
That's super interesting. I kind of want to steal this and have you broaden it to the APG and like other folks in the industry. So I'll talk about that later. But that's really cool. It sounds like there's so many really interesting initiatives that you're undertaking. There's a question that I wanted to ask you, which was, you know, kind of as someone who's listening, you know, you're interested in doing exactly what you've done. So build a better culture of effectiveness in their agency. What are kind of, you know, three or four tips that you would have for them to start that? But I think before I go into that, I wanted to ask you, so you talked a bit about, you know, really understanding your client's business, getting access to the business data, building a business case. And I think there's an important distinction maybe between getting a holistic understanding of how a business runs and what makes it successful and having access to that business data versus maybe some of the access that we get to or purview that we get to, like marketing or advertising related KPIs or objectives. And I think sometimes the two can be confused. Can you talk a bit about the difference between those?
Yeah, definitely. There's obviously a lot of numbers that we look at from a, you know, say from a marketing perspective that, you know, we think matter. And it's not that they don't matter, but they may not matter to everyone in the organization and everyone that has influence in the organization. So for example, you know, a head of sales may not care about brand awareness, even if they should, or more importantly, the CFO. And so one of the things that, if you can do it, is to build relationships with people from different departments to understand, you know, what is everyone measuring? So there's a great case from Kudo that won a few years ago where they found that not only did the work they do help drive new subscriptions, which is what, you know, the marketing team was tasked with, it actually helped reduce call center calls. So it was the No Shock, I forget the exact title of the campaign, but it was like around like no shock, because they weren't getting, you get a notification basically saying you're about to go over your data. And it's such a simple idea, but it proved that the work didn't just, you know, achieve marketing objectives. It helped achieve the objectives of, you know, customer service. And it was because they were looking at data beyond what the marketing team was looking at. So if I'm answering the question correctly, I think there is the best thing you can do, and it takes a bit of work, is to understand what are all the things, what are all the KPIs that matter to the organization, not just to marketing. And then as you look at the work you're doing, you know, as you're announcing, you know, analyzing results, you might see that you didn't just achieve your marketing objectives. You actually helped, you know, impact some other KPIs as well. And then you can start to prove the value of marketing beyond, you know, did it increase brand awareness or shift perception, you know, or get, you know, some marketing leads in the lower end of the funnel, that kind of thing. So it's important to look at the business overall, not just marketing.
So would you say, and maybe this is going to come in with your tips, is that about getting access to different clients?
Yeah, I think ideally you would get access to different clients, like building relationships with people outside of the marketing team. You know, one of the ways we've done that is, you know, we've asked, and sometimes it's as simple as that. Just ask your marketing client if you could set up a series of, you know, one-on-ones just to get a better understanding of the overall business. And some clients will absolutely embrace it. And some clients, you know, may feel that that's, may not be as comfortable with that. And that's what it is. We've also had that opportunity, you know, when we're doing, say a new brand platform with, you know, with a specific client, you know, we often will do stakeholder interviews as part of the, you know, our understanding of the brand. And we almost always get access to people from different parts of the organization. And that's an opportunity to build that relationship, to better understand, you know, have, as part of that discussion, you know, ask them about what matters to their business. And, you know, you're obviously asking questions around the brand as well, but there are moments where you can get, access as well. So, and take advantage of, you know, if you, you know, you might run into them in a hall, you might meet them after a meeting, or they might be a part of a meeting, like take 5 minutes and introduce yourself and get a better understanding of what their life is like at the organization. It's definitely helpful.
Okay, great. Well, let's launch into these tips. Are there some kind of easy things that I can do? I mean, even starting today to kind of help get this ball rolling.
Definitely. I probably the first thing I would do within your organization is try to find one peer from each department. So you won't be successful if you try to do it on your own. So find like-minded people who believe in effectiveness. So if you're a strategic planner, you know, find an account person that you really like working with and you believe will be an ally. Find someone in the creative department that you think will be an ally. And even find, you know, it could be a producer. It could be someone in finance. Like a finance person might be a great person to help you. Better think about numbers because you know they're thinking about numbers on a regular basis. But find a team would be the first thing, and talk about effectiveness. The second thing I would do is then immerse yourself in all of the incredible knowledge that exists out there. There is, you know, we could probably after when we send this out, you know, attach links to. I'm sure there's 20 or 30 amazing articles, but obviously the basics like. The long and short of it, how brands grow, everything that work in the IPA have been doing over the last 4 or 5 years, along with partnerships with Cannes, like the effectiveness ladder. There's so much incredible data. Kantar has reports on a lot of stuff. So immerse yourself in the data, become students of effectiveness and look at it as students of effectiveness from all angles of what we do. And then what I would do is together with your team, turn that into some training modules. So you'll have to distill it down, you know, turn it into lunch and learns if that's the most effective way your organization. It'll help you better understand what you're talking about and better understand the topic. But then it also, you're now, you know, spreading that kind of culture of effectiveness to the entire organization. And then I think the third thing is what we were talking about around apply the learning. And you can do that a couple different ways, but you have to actively apply it. It's not enough to just talk about it. You have to actively apply it. So in your day-to-day work, you know, apply it to your brief. How can you incorporate some of this learning into the brief? How can you incorporate it into how you evaluate the work? So ask yourself, you know, great question, you know, around emotion and fame is ask yourself a simple question, like, will people legitimately care? Like, don't just say, oh, I think it's a cool advertising idea. Like take a step back and say, will people care? Does it move me? Like, do I feel anything when I review the work? Will give you a sense of, is it emotional? And if you don't feel anything, it's probably not going to be, you know, if you don't feel anything, most likely others won't either. So it's applying these, is it distinctive? Like, does it stand out? Like apply the things you're learning to every step of the work you're doing. So the brief, reviewing work, make sure it holds true all the way through to production. And then I think within that, applying the learning, which was what we were talking about around training, is sit down as a team and then apply the learning to work, to some of the best in class work, because it's fun. It's a fun way to immerse yourself. It's a fun way to apply the learning from thinkers all around the world. And you're doing it together as a team. So it helps kind of build that culture of effectiveness.
Yeah. And there's some really interesting points in what you've said there. I mean, if we go back even to the first point in terms of, you know, finding peers from each department and building allies, like I think that's really smart. So to your point that, you know, you don't feel like you're fighting it alone. And I think it's smart for a couple of reasons, because as we talked about before, you know, obviously effectiveness should not just live within the domain of the strategists and the planning department being the only ones who care about it, because, you know, obviously the account folks have a very strong relationship with the client, and the creatives in their ideation need to be thinking about the business objectives as well. And I think it's also really interesting. I think sometimes creatives get a bad rap for, oh, whatever, you know, they don't care about actually achieving objectives. They just are after the awards. But some of the creatives that I've worked with have been incredibly astute in terms of business objectives and understanding. And curious if you have any thoughts there.
Oh, yeah, I have the same experience. I think it's easy to say creatives just want to make cool stuff. I know lots of creatives that thrive off, they want the work to work. They recognize that if they can help their clients be successful, you know, they get more opportunities to, I don't want to say push the limits, because I don't think that's the right way to, they get opportunities to push creativity in a good way. Like clients will, they earn the trust of their clients by helping their clients be successful, and they recognize that. And so if their clients are successful, then, you know, they'll, you know, the next campaign. So it's not always about, maybe it's not about this campaign, but it, you know, you show how this campaign is effective, and you do work that is effective. And then the next time the client's like, well, we're together, we're going to be a little more brave because they trust you. They know you care about their business. So I've seen that with them. Like, I remember one of the creative directors I worked with would talk to his creative team and say, you know, we need to build trust with our clients. If you want to do award-winning work, you need to build trust with your clients, and this is how we do it. So, you know, that's been a mantra I've heard certainly around the gray offices is this idea of you need to build trust and prove that you understand their business. And that's how you're going to get to do great work.
Then on the, and I think that's actually a great idea. We should build a list of resources after this podcast. I mean, it's almost like a cheat sheet, I think, which would be really super helpful. Have you found that these are a lot of documents that you've been introducing to your clients as well? Or I guess it's maybe people are in different states in terms of their journey towards effectiveness. Some are aware of Binet and Field and maybe others aren't. And can you talk a bit about that?
Yes. I just thought about this tip as we were chatting. One of the things I think I did in the early days, maybe incorrectly, was I tried to get, I went after every client and tried to sell it into a lot of, not sell it in, but tried to share all this knowledge with every single client that we were working with. And I think if I was to go back and do it, if I were to do it differently or to give advice to people who are kind of setting out on this journey, I would say find one client that really will embrace it, almost like they're part of the core team you've built within the agency. Find one client that you believe will really embrace it and will be part of your core team, and get success on one client first, and really work it out as a team about how you want to work and operate. And then, you know, once that's been done, you know, success kind of builds on success. Then you can take it to the second client, but now you have a case study to show, you know, client number two. It's like, look what we did with this client. Let's help you do the same thing. So within that thought would be also the training that you're doing with within the organization, within the agency. You can also then take that, which we have done as well. We've taken creative effectiveness to our clients. We've taken how to write better client briefs. We do that with our clients. Not every client, but we do it with clients that are open to it. Because again, they're a critical part of the success. If it all starts truly with identifying the right business problem and having a really strong client brief. And then if you have that foundation, you can then, you know, take it all the way through to having an amazing campaign that will be effective.
Yeah. And I think what's so interesting, I mean, you probably had this revelation as well. Like, once I started really getting into effectiveness and reading about it, you know, I was lucky at the time to have access to work, which I do not now, but yeah, there was a ton of amazing papers and, you know, studies that have been written by people, and not even necessarily in the last 10 to 15 years, like in the last 20 to 25, which I think are still revolutionary because we haven't applied the learning in terms of how consumers actually absorb advertising or how the brain works or like all of these things. It's like a treasure trove. And I know that, you know, it's not like I'm the first to discover it or the first to talk about it, but like you can pull something out from 20 years ago and sound like a genius because everyone's like, oh, really interesting. I was like, I didn't make this up. Like people have been saying this for a long time. So
it is interesting. It's, you know, the stuff that, you know, even Stephen King talked about, and I'm trying to think what would that be in the 70s? Like, is that 50 years old? I'm not quite sure. From JWT. And, you know, a lot of that thinking still holds true. And I do wonder, maybe this dates me, but if we've, you know, if we get lost in, you know, the new tools or, you know, social media strategy or digital strategy, and we forget that the fundamentals of why advertising works, I don't think is really changed. I mean, the channels have changed and stuff like that, but again, you know, strong distinctive assets, emotion, like, you know, things, you know, connecting with people on a, you know, human level, like, you know, I think about, you know, you're not you and you're hungry. I mean, that story was true 100 years ago. It was true 1,000 years ago, from the Snickers campaign. Like it's such a simple, true insight that idea will, the thought that you're not you and you're hungry, it will be true 100 years from now. It'll be true 500 years from now. Like, you know, it's really a simple fundamental idea is that, and then just finding creative ways to express that. But,
yeah, I mean, a lot of things, I mean, if you boil it down are kind of just reframes on things that have already been said. And that's not just our industry, right? That's fashion. It's music. It's
movies.
Yeah, exactly.
We tell the same stories over and over again, but they're really impactful. I mean, something else, this is sort of maybe a bit of a tangential thought, but, you know, this is where I go down rabbit holes at times, but, maybe it's a tip, I'm not sure, but you know, one of the things I've also found inspiring is learning from places that are not in advertising. To give you a really practical, tangible example, you know, I like Star Wars, and I was watching one of the behind the scenes making of The Mandalorian, and they were talking about, you know, designing the characters and the outfits. And George Lucas, I guess apparently had said, it's important that every character can be identified in a silhouette. And it, to me, that, you know, the way my brain worked, I'm like, oh, he understands distinctive assets. Like, you know, so one of the things I show in one of the training sessions is I show that, but then, you know, I show clips of, you know, 1977 Star Wars, you know, the lightsaber, the sound of the pistols or whatever, their laser guns or whatever they're called. I should know that. But, you know, he understands sonic branding because you look at the animated features of, you know, of the Clone Wars as an example, or all the new stuff that's out there now, the lightsaber sounds the same as it should. But it, you know, in the world, if you compare it to the world of advertising, we often walk away from these things that have equity. Whereas you look at these amazing franchises and they, you know, they understand the value of distinctive assets, the value of consistency, the value of just reframing the story to be, you know, culturally relevant in the time of the, you know, in the world that we live in today, but it's still the same story in many ways. So there's learning to be had from other places, I guess is the lesson.
Yeah. And I think that when you can find examples like the one you've just mentioned that are in contemporary culture that more people can relate to, it makes it easier to understand, I think, as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. And then in terms of actively applying, and I can't remember if you said this in just now when we were recording or before when we were chatting, I think you'd mentioned a case study mindset. Like, is that how you now approach your briefs, or you try and get people to think about them as they're writing?
Yeah. So the if we didn't talk about it, I can't remember if we talked about it during the recording as well, but, yeah, so basically the case study mindset is really simply starting with, do you really understand what the business problem is when you're sitting down and writing the brief? And you know, and I mean, working with your client on the client brief, but then also translating that over into the creative brief and really understanding what's going to help solve that. Like, what are the things we need to actually address that actual business problem? Because the great thing about a really tightly defined business problem is it actually really helps you focus your creative. So it's not just creative to get people, it's not just creative to get people to feel something, but it's like creative to get people to feel something that will solve a specific problem, which then helps you when you're building your case study for whether it's internally for, you know, the C-suite and other people in the organization or just with your client, or if it's for, you know, an FE submission, or hopefully for both. You can then point back to, as you kind of work through the evolution of going from client brief to putting something in market, you can always point back to, are we solving this problem? And then when the work goes out and hopefully does solve that problem, you can again go back and say, we had this problem, it was a really important problem, we applied this thinking and then this creativity to solve that, and here's the results. And it just, I think the idea of a case study mindset is just to keep, always kind of keep going back to, like, reminding yourself through every step of the process, what are we trying to solve for, and not letting yourself get distracted. You know, if you're in production, you know, you can easily go down the, you can get lost in casting or, you know, wardrobe or locations, and quickly forget. And it's not just the agency. I mean, clients can quickly forget as well. You know, they're, what are we trying to solve for here? And really, and not focus. So they stop focusing on what matters to accomplishing that objective, and they get lost in some other things as well. So, but if you always keep going back to reminding yourself, like, what are we trying to solve for? Right. And I think it helps keep you focused and helps ensure that the work you put into market is actually doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Yeah. And so, I mean, because truthfully, what happens in most agencies, and even if you have an effectiveness culture, sometimes it can still happen. It's like, obviously, awards come around and it's like, okay, well, what are we going to submit? And,
right,
you know, let's go back and call the client and see how this did. And I mean, how is it different to that approach? Because obviously one is forward planning and then one is backwards gazing, kind of. So you just talk about the difference in approach.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's if you have the effectiveness, you know, kind of mindset from the beginning, or this case study mindset, you are right off the top, like right at the very beginning of the process, you know what metrics matter, and you actually know what, you know, where do we stand today, and then you can work with the client to say, well, so you've agreed with the client what metrics matter. You're getting access to that data. And then you're actually, it's something you can kind of follow as you go into market, so that, you know, once the campaign launches, you actually should be then looking at those metrics with your client, and asking yourselves, are we on track? Are we doing what we set out to, you know, when we originally kicked this project off, are we delivering on what we set out to deliver?
Okay. So I guess, those are some great tips. So it sounds like kind of find your allies internally, find your allies externally as well, and kind of start hoovering up all the information, that's out there that already exists on effectiveness, and find a way to spread that knowledge, both amongst your agency and with your clients. And then start thinking about how to actively apply that. And would you say, I mean, the most obvious place to start is the brief. But I'd imagine the thinking then comes into your comm strategy and when you're reviewing the work, and like, what are the different junctures where you might apply that thinking?
Yeah, I think it definitely starts with the brief. If you don't have a clearly defined problem, if you don't really understand, you know, what the business objectives are before you get into marketing objectives, you don't really have a clear direction to go in. So really, and then when you go from the client brief to the creative brief, you want to make sure that you need to look at your creative brief and ask yourself, is it addressing the client brief, the business problem? And then, when you are reviewing work, you know, from the first internal review to the client presentation, making sure that you're discussing the business problem at the beginning and the marketing problem at the beginning of every review. And I think the reason I think that's important is that we all work in a lot of different things. Our clients, so whether it's internally or with clients, we're all very busy, and you might think we should all be thinking about what are we trying to solve for, but in the busyness of day-to-day life, I don't think that lens is always applied. So reminding people what we're trying to solve for. And then when you're looking at work, you know, there's also then looking through the lens of what are drivers of effectiveness from a creative perspective. Have we considered all of those elements? Is it moving? So making sure you're thinking about effectiveness, truly at every step, right through to production.
And so do you have at Gray like different tools and things that you use to do that? I mean, even if it is it like 3 to 5 questions that you ask yourself when you're reviewing creative, or 3 to 5 things that you double check before you finish a creative brief or things like that?
Yeah, I think the two tools would be, you know, at the beginning of the session, like whatever that session is, if it's an internal review or client review. One tool is simple, but it's what are we trying to solve for? What is the problem? And then we will often do an evaluation checklist, and it could be very simple questions like, does it make me feel anything? You know what I mean? Like, does it leverage our distinctive assets? Like some of those kind of, it's just reminding us to think about the things that we know if you use will help improve the effectiveness of the work. So there might be some generic ones like that, like, do I feel anything? Does it leverage the distinctive assets? You might be specific about what those are. But then also there might be some other specific questions that are kind of grounding us back to the strategy that we wrote in the business problem. So that'll have to be tailored on a case-by-case basis. But I try to keep it to 5 at the most, because if it becomes too long, if there's too many questions, then I think we don't have enough focus. So, but yeah, so we'll often use an effectiveness evaluation checklist.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for taking us through this and for continuing to fight the good fight. I'm sure these tips and tools will be immensely useful to many in the industry. So thanks again for your time.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
No worries.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share this episode, and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts.